Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fends and dummy half. It's with the halfback, Williams. Williams goes himself, comes out the other side, gets it to Croker, bounces away from a would-be from De Goyce, puts a kick out wide, looking for Shander Earle, and Earle is in again. Oh, stop it, it's starting to hurt.
Hello and welcome to the SC Playbook Podcast, head of NRL Supercoach Round 8, proudly brought to you by Pat and George from Mortgage Choice SCW. I'm your host, Tim Williams, and tell you what, there's 61% of NRL Supercoaches among the top 20,000 ranked overall with a Kalen Ponga-sized hole to fill in their Supercoach teams this week. It is Anzac weekend as well, my favourite round of the season. Love the way the NRL do this before each and every game and the way they celebrate the Anzacs. Here to do that with me and find a Ponga replacement is a bloke who he's done well to show up tonight, because not only is he a Kalen Ponga owner, but he was a last-minute Kalen Ponga captainer in round 7. Spy, it's good to have you along.
Well, good boys, still managed to pump out 10-50. That's just the depth of the boys this year. It's not a bad story, though. There's always one or two of these a year, but I think Maddie will enjoy this more than anyone. Don't know why, probably because it dominoes at the time. We actually had a few beers and whiskeys Saturday night, so it was all going well heading into Sunday. And I'd actually thought all week I might captain Ponga regardless of the goal kicking. Like, I was looking at his numbers. He was scoring tons, even if you take that away. Mm. And as we've said, our theme of the year has been don't worry too much about little injuries. Like, we saw what happened with Hines last year. And my whole thing was like, he could easily score 140 or 150, and then you go, why was I worried about a hip pointer? Like, he's fine.
Yeah.
Other side of me was like, this is terrifying.
Yeah.
So I had Ponga, then I found out he was goal kicking. And for some reason, that didn't lock him in. I was like, at my mate's. I changed to Hines. This is about 1:30 on Sunday. I'm like, oh. I think it's just Hines. Sunday arvo against Cowboys. Their defence is ordinary. I had to go to my next mate's house to make it to the footy. Ordered a pizza from Domino's on the way. And I've gone to pick it up and they're a little bit slow, which is very un-Domino's-like because they're quick. It was 1:59. There's no mayo on this story, I swear to God. I looked down, I'm like, 1:59. I'm like, oh, that gives me 1 minute to make a final decision. And I quickly just went under pressure, upside. Hines has been pumping out 70s. I'm going to be real filthy at myself if KP goes 170. I'm like, Ponga, in, done. And the logic adds up. Like, if you make decisions based on logic, that's fine. Yeah. I was also utterly terrified. Maybe I should have listened to that. And I was, like, really nervous. I'm like, okay, I hope this works out. Hope this works out. We all know what happened. And then Nico, 140-odd that night. So it cost me 126 points. But I guess the moral of that story is it actually happens to everyone. I'm not the only one. There'd be others out there with it. It'll happen to Dom Young owners and Teddy the other week. Just one of those things you just want to minimise.
Well, mine was Joey Manu last year, about round 24 or 5 or something. Not only, at least with Ponga, he was owned by more than half of super coaches.
That helps.
Joey Martin was owned by about 3% at the time when I skipped him.
Yeah, just quickly, I was going to say, we talk about the Manu and Pappenhausen incident from a few years ago all the time on here when we really got wrecked. I lost 450 points that day, which I figured out back in the day. This single incident of Hines getting 142 and Ponga getting like 13 or whatever cost me about 130. So that single Pappenhausen day was like this happening 4 weekends in a row. No wonder I was in all sorts.
Oh, you didn't even need to bring that up, mate.
That's crazy. That goes, That's some madness. But in saying all that, I went from 3K to 4K, which is nothing. So I was like, I've got away with this. So the other boys stepped out, which is good to see.
Yeah. It was a small fall for the Cooma Stallions. 1,042 points. Caelan Ponga obviously not helping, but as I said, certainly not alone in that one. Dropped down 1,500 spots to 7,448. So still in a decent spot. Some very good matchups this week. Very much looking forward to that Warriors clash. I brought in Dallin Watene Zalesniak last week over Greg Marju. So that one's paved out all right, especially with the injury to Caelan Ponga impacting Marju, I believe, moving forward. Yeah, hopefully some green arrows, another uptick this week. Also with us this week, Matty the Waterboy. Matty, how are you, mate?
Timmy, I'm good. You're right, Spy. We were sitting at the Lakes Hotel on Saturday, and if after Turbo scored, you told me that he'd only get 87 and my team would end up with less than 1,000, I would have called you mad. Oh. But unfortunately, I'm not complaining too much about an 87 captain, but, you know, I thought it would have been a lot more than that.
Within about 6 minutes of that game, Turbo strolled over for one of the easiest tries of all time. Luke Brooks, I was known. I had a try assist, and I just went, licking my lips, going, this could be huge.
Yep, 100%. And then he scored just before halftime, I'm pretty sure. So at halftime, we're just like...
We walked into that second pub because we had to change pubs due to a seating dilemma. And we literally walked in the door, looked up, and like, 5 minutes in, nil all, you beauty. And Turbo strolled over 10 seconds in. Yeah. I was like, oh, no.
So good. But yeah, I had a bad week. I got less than 1,986, but it happens.
It does happen, mate. Bulldogs chairman, Quantium CEO, Adam DeRussy, he's not with us today. He was a late scratching. Dogged us for probably Gus Gould or Cameron Serraldo or some business tycoon or something like that.
But, they start winning and he doesn't show up. Unbelievable.
He's too good for us all of a sudden. But Ads was a late scratching tonight due to work commitments, so hopefully get Ads back on in the near future. Spy... SC Paper subscription package. If you want access to our numerous premium extra articles on the site each and every round of the season, I had a big 3,500 word analysis on the teams go up this afternoon for Team List Tuesday. That is to subscribers only this week, chops and changes. It also gets you into our WhatsApp group with our late mail and team news threads, keep you up to date with all of that good stuff. We've got a contributor only thread, throw updated trade plans in there. I didn't decide, I think, till Friday last week that I was going Dallin over Margie. Was able to put that in there. Reasons behind it, all that good stuff, as the rest of the contributors do. And plenty more. If you want to get involved with it, head to scplaybook.com.au and find the subscription tab in the menu on site. On today's show, topic number one, and the big one, and nearly all the questions that came in this week, Caelan Ponga replacements. He's worth a lot of money. Who do we go for? Is it the bargain-priced Reece Walsh? Not everyone agrees on that one. We'll get to that shortly. Team List Tuesday talking points. Nathan Cleary, name for the Penny Panthers. Is he a must straight away, or do you give him a week with that hamstring injury, coming back from the hamstring injury, I should say? Hot topics for the week. There's a host of cheapies peaking in price, namely the Raiders boys. Who are we holding there? Who are we cutting? New little segment this week, the Spies players you may have missed. We'll get a little bit more to that later on. Of course, as always, we'll drop our round 8 trade and skipper plans and our listener questions. Just a quick one before we get into the Ponga replacements. Anzac Day on Thursday, so a little bit of a reshuffle of the SC Playbook podcast for the week. Beers and break-evens will be dropping about 12, 1 o'clock tomorrow, so a little bit earlier. Half-bat podcast plan at the moment is to drop that tomorrow afternoon. And the question and answer podcast that I do, I'll be doing that fresh off the dawn service, bright and early Thursday morning. So you hopefully can listen to that one if you do tune into it before your festivities on Anzac Day and the first game of the round. Spy, let's get into it. Caelan Ponga replacements, mate. He's worth a tick under 900K. He was in terrific form. As you mentioned, he did go out with a hip pointer injury, picked up what I believe might have been a Lisfranc injury, one of them really concerning foot injuries. Set sideline him for a long, long time. Really disappointing for just everything.
Worth noting, he could be back end of the season, so that's good for Knights fans. They can stay in the hunt, but he also may not be. And supercoach-wise, obviously, that man's definite sell.
Devastating all round, to be honest. But, mate, what that does do, it gives us a lot of money to play within our squads. It was from a purely Supercoach perspective, it was a very bittersweet one because sure, it's bad to lose him, but a lot of money to play with.
And I think like 13% of people brought him in this week as well. That's a dagger.
Yeah, that hurts.
When that happens. So, yeah, you're starting to get into that sort of higher ownership level again. So just buying things wide open again, which is always good for the game itself. Not for NRL, because it sucks not watching him for the Knights, but yeah.
Especially with so many good options available at fullback. Number one and the most traded in fullback replacement for Caelan Ponga this week is Reece Walsh. Reece Lightning at a barely believable $616,000. He has a break-even of 43. He hit 110 against the Raiders on... against the Raiders on the weekend. Upcoming games for the Broncos. It's a soft draw up against the Tigers, the Roosters, the Eels, the Seagulls, the Titans. Spy, he's bottomed out as a result of that concussion against the Panthers a few weeks back. You're not probably... barring injury, you may never get Reece Walsh cheaper than this. Red hot on my radar. What are your thoughts on Reece Walsh?
Well, I just found the most unbelievable stat of the year. He's had one try assist this whole season, Reece Walsh.
Really?
Yep. So he scored 6 tries in essentially 4 games. Yep. He's got one try assist, so that's only going to go up. That's
they've
sure.
had a very tough draw to start the season.
Scoring tries for fun. We know how good he is. I think I nearly started with Walsh at 800 and something, so clearly he's in the mix. He's an absolute freak. Downside to Walsh is no longer kicking. That doesn't worry me heaps, but it's just worth noting.
Do you think that Adam Reynolds back somewhat reduces the pain of the non-goal kicking? Because Reynolds is going to put him in better positions.
I think Haas and Reynolds back is better for him than goal without kicking. Them and goal kicking. Mm. I actually went to look up pre-game, pre-potty, what he had scored without Haas in the team, and he's actually only played one game without him, which is a shame, but he scored 23 without Haas leading into this year, and then he's obviously had a couple this year. He's gone well, but what I was trying to determine was I think Haas just makes a world of difference along with Reynolds, because go forward, offload game, Brisbane just a better side, and Walsh benefits from that.
The speed of the ruck, how dominant out through the middle, and Walsh just plays off the back.
Speed of ruck, Reece Walsh, goodbye. So, yeah, he's in a shootout with another bloke we'll talk about in a little bit. But absolutely, if you're getting him in, it's fine.
We will leave our decisions to the end of the topic as we get through our work our way through the popular fullback options. I think he's a great...
I should just knock his downside is his flaw. He doesn't have a day out attacking-wise, which may never happen again. He does have, what did he score last week? 38. Yes, without Haas and Reynolds, but he scored 38. Scored 14 in goal kicking and scored a try. So he basically based like 7. Mm. So that's the risk you take with Walsh, but typically speaking, he's just good enough to fix that. And if you get a 25 in there at some stage, you're probably getting 125.
You're taking the words out of my mouth there, Spy. And sure, his floor might be lower than certainly other fullbacks that we'll look at. I'm so confident in his ability in that outstanding Broncos outfit. Like what they did to the Raiders, who have had a red-hot start to the season without Reynolds, without Piakura, without Haas. It's remarkable. I'm so confident that the attacking stats are going to come. I don't really care.
Yep.
If there is a 30 in there somewhere, there's going to be a 130.
It'll be offset. And they don't play Penrith. They don't play Melbourne, I guess, who are going well. But again, it's only really Penrith that concern me all that much this year. Even the Warriors now aren't what they were last year yet from a defensive standpoint. Mm. So with his run, I don't look at any of those and go, oh, they could potentially shut him down a bit. So Reece Walsh looking the goods.
Spy, Tommy Trbojevic, I've been an owner all season, averaging 79-80-odd, 824K, a run to come, a really nice one. The next 3 weeks, I should say, it gets a little bit tougher after that. Eels, Raiders, Dolphins into the Broncos and Storm. So it's a good 3 weeks ahead for Tommy Turbo, Brookie this week against the Eels. Very happy owner. Haven't looked like leaving my side this week. I thought it was going to happen on the weekend. I'm waiting for that 130, 140 plus to come. Hasn't quite happened yet. You're not an owner. Where does he sit in your pecking order? Keen?
A bit torn on Tommy. He's going to do a job for you, no doubt. We spoke about it at the pub on the weekend. And I spoke about it on the Sunday recap podcast. But Manly have basically diversified their attack a lot. They've got Olakau'atu right edge, got Cherry who finds Garrick, who finds Saab. They've got Brooksy on the left there. Brooksy hits short a lot or runs often, whereas in the past we've spoken about it was that left edge, was it, whether it was Foran or Schuster, they're just going to the line, squaring up and hitting Tommy all day. He's seeing such minimal ball in comparison to previous seasons in the red zone there in the 20.
You've always been very critical of Luke Brooks' long passing game, and that is the one out the back. Mm. You know, you've got the lead runner out the back to Tommy sweeping, and so far, the left edge, it looks nothing like it has in the past.
I think, I don't know if it was Brooksy or someone else, but you blew up Deluxe at the pub. I think Tommy was out the back with about 3-on-1. They might have gone short.
And
that's just how he plays.
Yeah. And I also own Brooks, so it would have been a double banger.
Ah, double whammy. But
between that and the Raiders game, I blew up about a few things on Saturday night.
That's it. But like that's how Brooks plays. It's not that he can't do it. We've seen him do it a couple of times, but his go-to play isn't just hit out the back. So maybe that'll evolve.
His default setting is play short to back row.
That's it, or show and go. So
you sound cold on him.
I'm cool-ish. I still rate him, and if I owned him, I'd hold for sure. The other factor is he's only played 2 games at Brookvale Oval or Four Pines Park, so that's where he does a lot of his damage. Mm. He has 2 in a row coming up, Power in Canberra, then gets Suncorp against the Dolphins, then Suncorp and Four Pines. Like, it's all good places for him to attack on, but it is Brisbane and Melbourne, 2 of those.
But even that, it's a month away.
I really like him, given he's priced at 820. A couple of blokes. The bloke I'll talk about, I just probably prefer more at the price. I guess what I'm trying to say, I don't quite know where Manly are going to go attacking-wise this year. Is it going to evolve to the point where he gets more and more involved as the season goes? Is that this week? Is it next week? Is it 6 weeks' time or 8? I don't know. So it just wouldn't shock me. I find things are a little bit different to the past, but look, he's averaging what?
80.
80. So there's no reason he can't keep doing
and
that.
And put it this way, you know, he's back from a lengthy injury layoff. He's finally, touch wood, stringing games together, and he's still averaging 80 and looking very good. So I'm like...
Mm. And he put 100 on Penrith at Four Pines. So the Four Pines factor is the big one that could sway me to him. I think he's a great option. I just think there's those caveats involved this year.
Yeah. I, for one, think Tommy Trbojevic is a great replacement for Kalen Ponga. Third on the list, Dylan Edwards. $891,000. He's grown a leg with Nathan Cleary out in recent weeks. Since Cleary's missed 3 weeks ago, he's averaging 109. Scores before that with Nathan Cleary, he had 40, 116, and 56. I personally think the ship has sailed on Dylan Edwards at 891K with Cleary back. If no Cleary there, you can't knock what he's been doing. But with Cleary back, he's also been goal-kicking for Cleary. I mean, I don't know if Cleary will goal kick straight away with his hamstring injury. Maybe Edwards holds on to it. But again, there's another concern there where I think you're paying overs for Dylan Edwards, but they do have a good draw to come, the Panthers. There's some nice games in the next 3 weeks.
I couldn't do it on the fact that previous 2 seasons he's averaged 69 and 67. Good solid scores, but not necessarily what you're after in the fullback slot.
Phenomenal teams.
And that includes... Cleary had long layoffs, like 6 to 8 weeks both of those seasons, or 4 to 8, I can't remember exactly, but his numbers would have spiked there as well. So I'm assuming with Cleary, he only averages mid-60s, and it's because Cleary does nearly everything for that side. His role changes, which means at that price, not for me. In saying that, if you own him, give him another week, of course, just to see how things play out.
Laugh if you own him.
He's a line through me for Edwards, and that's just based on past pedigree. Why would we expect that to change? I'm not sure. It could, of course, but I mean...
An example is Justin... It's not a good example, but I'm going to use it anyway because I wanted to bring it up at some point. But you often forget about like popular purchasers who, you know, get sold off in 2 weeks when they hit when they fall off the perch. But Justin Olam, 2 good weeks. Everyone jumped on him. You're like, history means something, people, for these players that have been in the game for a long time. Olam's got a 3-round average of about 34 or something.
That's it. And so, you're right, like Supercoach Fantasy Sports... punting, whatever it is, you have to use past pedigree. Doesn't mean you can't go against it at times and bet against things, but typically, obviously, the norm will arise more often than not.
So they're back to their full-strength side, Penrith. Edwards can score well, but I'm not paying that much for him when there's more value plays on offer. Charnze Nicol-Klukstad, 724K, 54 break-even. Walls flagged him in his article last week as a pod play. He's averaging 87, 54 break-even, upcoming games for the Warriors against the Titans, the Knights, the Roosters, the Storm and the Dolphins. It's a pretty good run, particularly the next 2 weeks, Titans into Knights. I think the Warriors are going to absolutely obliterate the Titans this week on Anzac Day over in New Zealand off the back of last weekend's poor result. The Titans have been up 2 weeks in a row. I think they're going to put on a show there. Charnze has averaged 50 in base this season. In the last 2 weeks, he's had 60 runs.
That's insane.
Mm.
He wasn't actually on my radar, to be honest, but I've just had a look on the run. Again, on based on past pedigree, he was phenomenal on that right edge last year for the Warriors. Set up plenty of tries. We always know he works hard, but his work rate has gone to this insane level where he's had points in runs. I'm going to include tackle busts the last 2 weeks just because they're quite relevant when you're having that many runs. Week before, he had 57 in runs plus 18, so that's 75 just with running the footy. Last week, he had 45 plus 12, so 57 with running the footy. Sweeping out the back there on the right, tipping on to Dallin, is 20 every time he does it. Whew, tempting case, but again, history suggests otherwise. So which way is it going to be? Has it just been a big couple of weeks? Is this going to continue?
And when we talk about like history with certain players and Dylan Edwards and whatnot, you know, if circumstances change in the team, then I'm all for changing my opinion and looking past what's happened in the past. Like, you know, a player might add goal kicking like Edwards had with Cleary away. But like Edwards now is going back to what we've seen in recent years, particularly with outside backs. People go and score a few tries and set up a few tries in the space of a couple of weeks and look brilliant. Chance, maybe, if... Look, I don't think 30 runs a week is going to be the norm, but even 25 a week, it's still an incredible base. So if that can become the norm in terms of runs per game, I'm not sure that it's sustainable, but perhaps it is. Well, maybe he can go into keeper stats at fullback because, of course, last year when he was chosen, he was CT dub fullback dual.
Mm. My gut sort of says you could write a good thing here. See what he can do. So I'm not against it.
I think
Titans game.
You can always at the price as well with a 54 break even. With that draw, I tell you what's a good one. If you wanted to go on Chance, you could run him for the Titans Knights game, make a bit of money, see what he's got, and then flip him to a 150, 200K cheaper Scott Drinkwater who has a really soft run coming up after the Panthers.
Yeah, we'll speak.
We had to drink water. Speak about
drinking in a sec, but that's a hell of a ploy.
Yeah, so I don't mind that from Charles. I'm not convinced he's a keeper. The Warriors don't play round 13, but could be a little short-term play with, if he does keep it up, maybe he can be a keeper. But look, not for me. Ryan Papenhuyzen, number 5 on the list, and Spy, the one that has caught your eye.
Does that shock you at all?
No, not one bit.
Sometimes I've got to be careful. I'm not just doing it because I love someone, but owners will hate me saying this, but I like what I've seen in the last 3 weeks. He got 75 2 weeks ago. He got sin bin, which never happens. Like he's clean as they come. He's a smart operator. He just got a bit carried away, got binned. Would have scored points during that period because he was just starting to pepper them. So 75 would have been 85 in 70 minutes. So basically, he was turning up, let's be honest. Worst case, mid-90s. His other scores have been, let's take out Penrith round one. We always do that. I'm always happy to do it. He's gone
almost round one in general. But no, then you add in that being Penrith in the wet.
First game back from his horrific injuries.
Yeah.
Then went 132 against New Zealand, 78 Newcastle, 50 Brisbane. Brisbane played pretty well that night. Melbourne scored a lot of points, but it just didn't quite happen for him. But he's still got 50. 75 against Bulldogs, which to me reads as a ton if I'm analysing that. That's 2 tonnes in 4 weeks, and then 52 against the Roosters in a pretty physical battle last week. Now his draw opens up a bit. South Sydney, Titans, Sharkies, Parra, Manly. Like, there's no real heavy hitters in there.
Yeah.
Titans just put 34 over on Manly. So is it time that Pappy just rises another gear? Perhaps Meany just has a couple weeks off so he can goal kick. But obviously that lack of goal kicking concerns me a little bit.
I think it's the lack of goal kicking keeping me away from him. He's back to a very affordable rate now. Like, he got up to 735K. He's down to 679 now. Like, any day of the week, that's a bargain for Ryan Papenhuyzen. We know it is. He's averaging 70 across the first 6 weeks, coming back from some big injury layoffs. So it's just that there's so much great competition and buyers elsewhere in the position. I think he's a great buyer. The goal kicking is just the concern there. Melbourne have also been really good to start the season. He's averaging his 70, that's fine. I like it. I don't like it as much as Reece Walsh.
Yeah, so the big ticker on Pappy is won't play Origin, we're assuming. I can't see that happening this year. You can basically lock him in now, quite cheap, and just hold him through the Origin period. He should get better and better and better. Obviously, there's some injury risk based on his history and being a smaller body, but I guess the other option is to get Reece Walsh now. can always get Pappy pre-origin.
I can see myself doing a little bit of fullback roulette.
Ziel roulette.
Ziel roulette around the origin period and going, I'll get to my trade shortly, but like someone like a Tommy Trbojevic who will be impacted around origin. I think Turbo, particularly if Manly are going well, is every chance it rests after origin because he'll run for 1,000 metres in him. And,
for sure.
So I believe, so Drinkwater plays round 13. I can see myself going like a Turbo to Drinky by round 13 and then getting Pappy in after because he misses round 13, getting the roulette on around the origin period.
Don't mind at all. As I've said with the roulette, I'm not going mad and doing week to week here. We're just talking just the odd tactical ploy throughout the season and doing stuff like that. But yeah, Pappy, one to ponder, but at the moment, I think he's my boy. With a big Thursday and next week coming up.
What about James Tedesco, 656K? Look, he started the season on fire. Started with 70, 103, and 135. They're against Brisbane, Manly, and then the Rabbitohs, his big 135. Then went 47 against Penrith. That's fine. And then he had the early concussion against the Doggies for 4 points. The problem with Teddy is tough draw. Dragons on Anzac Day, different beast, and they're also playing some good footy. Broncos at Suncorp, Warriors in Sydney, Sharks at Suncorp, Magic Round. It's a tough month ahead. The break-even of 158. At 656K, it's a bargain price for him because of the concussion, but 158's a lot of money for a bloke who also, if he gets one more concussion, that could be numerous weeks out.
100%. Good call. What I'd mention is you don't have to sell Ponga this week. I'm half tempted to let all the boys go toe-to-toe.
Well,
battle for my
I'll jump in. Yep. I'll jump in ahead of you because I know what you're going to say. Option number five. Wait, four, five, six, seven. Option number seven, Kyle Iro. Lots and lots and lots of people invested in Iro last week or started the season with him. He's dual CT dub fullback. So you could shift Iro to fullback for a week if you want to sell Ponga this week to anyone.
Yep.
Scott Drinkwater comes on the radar, 885K, a break-even of 156. He plays the Panthers this week. He could drop 100K and be sub-800K next week, then goes into the Dolphins, the Titans, the Rabbitohs, and the Tigers, and then plays round 13. So whether you want to maybe go take the option of Iro down and wait for Drinky next week or sort out issues with your team elsewhere, hold Ponga for a week and go Ponga to Drinky next week. You're a big Drinky man. Talk to us about that.
I reckon Drinky could be the answer. To be honest with you, he's just got to get through Penrith. He'll drop a heap of cash. He will have a big break even next week, assuming he doesn't do much to Penrith, which I hope he does.
Yeah.
Sneaky try assist to be nice. But look at that draw. Read that out again for us, the Drinky draw after Penrith.
Dolphins, Titans, Rabbits, Tigers. It's almost as good as it gets.
It's pretty spectacular.
Dolphins going well enough. Questionable defence still at times and just still had a lot of injuries on that roster.
Yep. So
Drinky, it's a good roster.
Drinky got 60 last week and a 40.
Plays round 13
drubbing.
As well.
Plays 13. You'll find right round 14 is quite tricky as well.
Yeah.
So anyone that covers 13 and 14 is going to be uber valuable, which on the sell front also means anyone that plays Origin and may miss 14 is a real sell option. So look at them both in conjunction with each other there. But well, Drinky got 60-odd last week in a 42-6 drubbing. He looked quite good. They had no ball.
In attack.
That run coming. Yeah, in attack.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one.
Yeah.
I own him already, so that's why I'm not jumping all over it because I already own him. But tell you what, he's averaging 80. He's got 144 a couple of weeks ago against the Titans. He's playing with a lot of confidence with the ball in hand, busting tackles, running a lot.
Yeah.
I like Drinky.
I don't mind the play. I think I'm going to wait for him to bottom out in price. And look, even if I get him in a few weeks' time leading into Origin, even like, because Tommy Turbo has a few easy games coming up, and then when it gets a little bit more difficult as Drinky bottoms out, that might be the play. The other and last option, I've just seen people getting in people like Trey Fuller, who was great last week, but he's only played one game. Supercoach is going to have a very interesting decision to make next week. Well, here's one for you. If you did want to shift Iro there for a week, the Dolphins have got who this week?
Can't remember.
Dolphins have got someone this week, I'd imagine. Work that out.
It's not the bye.
Not the bye. It's Newcastle.
Yeah. Right.
Fuller got 90-odd last week. If he goes big this week, he's going to have a break-even of about negative 170. Like, I won't be able to get him in because I'm selling Ponga this week. But if you wait a week on what Fuller could do, Holy wow. So that's
taking an easy couple hundred K. It's worth noting that Para game on the weekend, Para could not even stand up in the second half and he destroyed them, which was credit to him. But, you know, it shouldn't be that easy moving forward. But, yeah, like, obviously understand your logic. Yeah. But for me, I think fullback, don't mess around too much. I wouldn't want to go too long without a primo fullback.
I agree. People are looking at Chevy Stewart, Iro getting him in at fullback.
It's not for me.
Armstrong at the Knights, debuting, not for me.
But I could do it for a week.
A week's okay.
Yeah, and then you get to reassess the cattle. You get to see Tommy again this week and go, Tommy is the man. Okay, fair enough. So, yeah.
So I think might have an idea of your verdict, Spy, but what are you looking at doing with Kalen Ponga?
I think I was going to go to Pappy pre-podcast. Mm. Maybe Walsh is the answer. It's one of those two boys, Pappy or Walsh. For what it's worth, this is a bit of speculation, but I think maybe Pappy averages around the 75, possibly 80 mark moving into the next 6 weeks or so, which is pretty good. I just get the feeling he's got a real big score in him, though, in the next couple of weeks. Yeah.
I think
Pappy or Walsh.
I think Walsh is the play. I really do. I just... You know, people considering, like, I think Trbojevic is a great buy, but you look at Turbo at 824, Edwards at 891, Chance at 724. They're all such a massive price. Walsh at 616K, like, he's 270K cheaper than Dylan Edwards. He's over 200K cheaper than Tom Trbojevic. I just think he's an out-and-out freak. He's scoring well this year outside of the concussion-impacted game.
Yep.
Sorry, fraction cheekbone it was. I just think he's the play. And I know I don't even want to look past it. No goal kicking, not ideal, but whatever. You know, Reynolds is coming back from a hamstring injury. Maybe Walsh does. Keep the kicking for a week or two in a team with Reynolds and Haas there. Reece Walsh from East Byne.
Talking me around.
Yeah.
If I go back to round one, I wanted to start with him, as I said, at 850 or something. So 600 in form, boys back.
You look at the best cheapies in the game and the cash generators, they make you 200K. I think Reece Walsh can do that at fullback while scoring 100 plus.
Something in here is telling me Walsh and something in here is telling me Pappy, so I probably should go down here.
Hey, Maddie, you're a Kalen Ponga owner.
I am.
We've laid it all out on the line for you. We've done the research for you, which I'm sure you're up doing late last night anyway, mate. But
I use Maddie's notes.
What are you thinking of doing with him?
My immediate thought was Reece Walsh, and at this point I think I'm still going to do that. He's, as you guys said, he's Broncos have had probably the toughest start to the year of anyone. He's dirt cheap for him, and I just enjoy watching him play, so I like having him in my team. In saying that, I also enjoy Pappenhausen, and Spy, you bring up some really good points, and as you were talking, I was sitting here doubting myself. So at the moment, I still have Walsh ahead, but it's something to consider.
Yeah. I think I like the Walsh, but on the Walsh-Pappy comparison, I can't believe Pappy wasn't higher traded in. Maybe that'll change as the week unfolds, but they're both cheap for their price, cheap for their, you know, for their pedigree, both coming to soft draws after tough draws to start the year. So both good buys, but...
Just on Pappy, right, one more. Three games at Amy Park this year. Because the first round doesn't count, as we've discussed. And yes, that Bulldogs game was 100 in my analysis because he got binned. That's 200s in three games at Amy.
Talk about twist it to make it look what that, you want it,
works.
It to be. Far
Tell me why out. That doesn't work. And then he's got South at Amy, Gold Coast at Seabus, Sharks at Amy, Para at Suncorp, and he goes to Four Pines. It's a good run.
Yeah, his 100 average will be good, but Walsh's 130 average is going to shit on it. Spy, team list Tuesday, Nathan Cleary. He's back on deck. He's $883,000, 80 break-even, upcoming games against the Cowboys, the Rabbitohs, the Bulldogs. Three really soft weeks. Coming back from a hamstring injury, get him in straight away or wait and have a look, mate, because... The fact that Ponga's gone down injured is going to free up money for all his owners. He's going to be very attainable this week for most.
He was already in my side pre-injury, so he's definitely in it now. When I say that, this week, I'd plan to bring him back for the Cows game as soon as he was named. Mm. So, I'm not passing up the opportunity for a fresh Cleary against the Cowboys who are utterly battling defensively at the moment.
Well, fresh, yes, but he's also not played footy for a month and has a hamstring concern.
Fresh as a daisy.
You have no concerns about the injury?
Of course I do, but... I just think he's had an extra probably couple of weeks rest where they've just gone. I actually think Penrith have finally realised they don't have to rush their best player and just give him an extra couple of weeks where needed. So to me, I don't feel like it's your typical hamstring where they've gone, all right, you're good to go, let's play. I feel like it's a couple of weeks past due. Sure, it could go again, but I'm chasing upside this year. I'm not worried about an injury that may or may not happen. I think I've looked at the rate with NRL physio, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but I'm taking the odds to it. The re-injury rate, I should say.
Yeah, I've had a look at how he's performed in recent seasons when missing 3+ games and how he's returned straight after those. He missed 5 club matches last season. He returned with scores of 81 against the Bulldogs, 109 against the Sharks, 103 against the Storm. He missed the first 3 weeks of 2022. He returned with scores of 34, 57, but then he went 151 and 158. Do note on that, as we've seen again this year, start of the season in the early rounds, they're tough.
Like, his first 2 games, clearly doesn't often do much. Yeah.
He missed the first 5 games on the trot of 2021 season, and then he returned, must have been in round 6, I'd gather, 82, 86, 189. Fair returns.
What I do like, apart from the scores being good, is he's already played this year. Like, he's got, not sure how many games, but 3 or 4 games under the belt. Cobwebs are gone. He's raring to go. So I like it. Obviously, if you want to hold off and just wait to see that he gets through with the hemi, that's fine. I just think you're risking missing 150.
Yeah, the way the cow's looking with that draw, I think I'm very tempted to pull the trigger. And you know what? In terms of analysis and giving opinions, you have to take the risk of the hamstring, because if you are, he'll probably kill it. If he stays fit, he goes big. If he doesn't, catch up.
That's it.
On that one spot, Nicho Hynes, 867K, back to business on the weekend, 142 points. Welcome back, Prince Nicho. Does this reinforce what we believed all along, but looked a little bit shaky for a while, that it's a Cleary-Nicho halfback-only combination? Because you add in now that Braden Trindle's out for the Sharks, indefinitely for being a naughty boy over the weekend after the Sharkies win over the Cowboys. We don't know how long Trindle's going to be out for. This just means to me that Nico's going to get a lot of touches. If he wasn't controlling the team already, he's going to do it tenfold now. Is it just Cleary-Nicho? It's as simple as that? Or
I personally think it is and always has been. Yeah. It's just, they're just too good. And we saw why on the weekend with Hynes. They've just got that big score in them. And if you miss a couple of them, they're great captaincy options. I just don't think there's anyone at halfback that's pushing it enough to go, gee, I really like you, let's give you a crack. Mm. It's just not the position to do it, in my opinion.
What do you think, Matty? I feel like, speaking at the start of the season, you might have been of a similar opinion. I might be wrong, but did you start with the Nicho and Cleary combination?
Yes, I did. Yep.
Do you sit there now after Nicho's slower start to the season? We've seen Cherry Evans and Sean Johnson going quite well at halfback. After his 142 on the weekend, is it just Cleary-Nicho for you, or has your mind changed a little
bit? Nah, mine hasn't changed at all. They're easily the two best. It's not even close. And I don't know, I just think having them, it just makes you stress less, you know? Yeah. If you don't have them, imagine how stressed you'd be all weekend. If you don't buy Cleary this weekend, imagine how stressed you're going to be watching that Panthers Cowboys game. Seriously,
about as stressed as me at the Lakes Hotel 5:30 Saturday. Yeah. I could barely watch. It was horrible.
Oh, every time Turbo got the ball, you were like, pass it, pass it.
It's terrible.
Every time Manly scored, I was turning around to these boys under the sticks they scored. And I'm like, come on. Can't set one up this set.
Jack Bird on the extended bench for the Dragons means Zach Lomax is still at centre. Look, provided he passes concussion protocols, I'd assume Jack Bird comes back in at centre, Lomax back to the wing. Where owners definitely want him, but at the same time, he killed at centre last week. So take your pick with that bloke at the moment.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Dom Young back at on the wing for the Roosters. Suili'i back to centre. Jacob Gagai, he's back. He played in Vegas. People flocked at bottom dollar. Get this by, still owned by 39% of the top 100 and 25% of the top 100,000.
Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Disappointing to hear.
Yeah. Matty, Isaac Thompson, extended bench for your Bunnies. Jacob Gagai, job security. What do you think of this?
Yeah, look, it's so hard because who knows what's going on there. I still don't really know why Gagai got dropped after round one. I thought he played pretty good. I wanted Thompson to come back in at some point, but man, that Warriors game, he just looked out on his feet the whole game. He scored a really, really good try, but he just looks like he's a bit off the pace. So maybe, I don't know, he just needs some more match fitness somewhere else. The short answer is I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea. But now Munro's out. He's out for a long time. He's every chance keeping his spot because you've got, you know, Johnson's still out for a bit. Tane Milne's in there. Thompson's not looking like he's going to crack the side anytime soon. So it's tough, but I wouldn't be getting him if I don't have him.
And he's obviously only played the one game this season, so there won't be price movement for a couple of weeks. Owners will be very happy to see his face again, but as we move through this list of team this Tuesday, there's probably a lot of things relevant that'll change our teams, but there's a lot of NRL debutants and cheapies on the horizon. So more for coming weeks. Damien Cook back in for the Bunnies at hooker. Shock, surprise, surprise. Peter Mamazelos is on the bench, though, so they've got the dual hooking combination. Jai Arrow back on deck, massive for the Bunnies. Ethan Sanders debuts at 5'8 for the Parramatta Eels. Blaise Talangi earned not a lot of money for us. Got 20 minutes last week for 12 points and has now been moved to the extended bench, so move him on at a time that suits. Spy Brennan Hands, named on the bench. Joey Lussick, every time you think that he's going to become irrelevant, he knocks out a good score, and then whenever you think, all right, he's a solid hold for a while, Hands comes back on the bench. You're an owner still. Break-even's 13, I believe. He's about a bit over 400K. What are your thoughts with him?
440, yeah, heading towards that 500 I predicted, but stifled again by Handsy, big fella.
You get that when you get pumped, when you concede 8 tries to the Dolphins in 25 minutes.
I need some more forwards, not a backup hooker. No, he's pretty buggered in Darwin. It looks to me as they'll play him this week and reassess next week because the downgrade to Brayley at Newcastle next week looks perfect if Hands is named again. If he's not, maybe I'll roll with him, but really like Brayley anyway, so yeah.
Yeah, Brayley should be hot on the radar of Levi and Lussick owners. We'll get a bit more on him later. At the Tigers, Solomon Alamalo, apologies for pronunciation on that one, debuts on the wing for Junior Tupu, who is injured. Samuela Fainu starts on the edge. John Bateman at lock. We'll also get to Fainu a little bit later because he's going to come up on one of our hot topics. A little interesting discussion point around him. People short on a front rower this week. There'll be a few out there who have only got one available. Might have been gifted a little lifeline in Samuela Fainu. At the Broncos, Adam Reynolds, Brennan Piakura, Payne Haas, all back. Cobbo and Mann both out, but only expected to be gone for a week. Moves Jesse Arthurs to centre. Big watch on Piakura and Haas this week. Thomas McKayley, early season, touted cheapy on the bench for the Cowboys with their poor form, particularly through the middles. McKayley could be one to keep an eye out for there. Taylan May back in place of Alamotti, sat out last week. Very disappointing for the Cooma Stallions. Needed him to play against the Tigers. Cost me in a few different spots, but we'll get over that and move on. Tommy Flegler. Still no Tommy Flegler for the Dolphins. Good news for Josh Kerr and those wanting to bring in Maxi Plath this week.
The Psycho Plath. Saw that on Twitter there. I don't know. Not stealing it because I don't know who it was, but what a nickname. That's outstanding.
Kempy? Hammy? Psycho Plath?
Sounds hammyish.
Yeah, I can't remember who said it, but it was definitely said at some point.
Whoever thought of it, bloody well done.
Yeah, very interesting talking point this week, Psycho Plath. David Armstrong debuts for the Knights in place of Kalen Ponga. Bottom dollar, dual centre wing fullback. I had a bit of a look through his New South Wales Cup stats in recent weeks. Loves a run, Spy. Loves a run.
There's another fella there at Newey, though. I don't know the ins and outs, but they really like fullback as well.
He didn't play last week, so maybe been injured. Look, not one you jump on straight away, but the dual seated hub fullback could be a very interesting one if he's one of them 20-plus running fullbacks.
Wouldn't it be great?
Plug in at seated hub for Strange or Schiller or whoever it might be.
We'll just figure out who the other fella is and go from there in coming weeks.
Yeah, at the Raiders, KO Weeks in for Jamal Fogarty. Dual 5'8 fullback, again, 273K. Not that you'd be going early on him, but one that could emerge in coming weeks. A
couple of solid number sevens there at Green Machine Town.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. I was talking up Strange a huge Saturday night, and everyone was blowing up at me. I was like, give him the seven, he'll do the job. So let's see.
I hope you're right, Spy.
He's good.
guys, if you're thinking, geez, I'd like a trip to the 2025 Rugby League World Cup or an end of footy season trip, a Euro trip to Oktoberfest, maybe you're planning for your wedding or your honeymoon on a foreign island, but the finances don't quite allow it, might be worth reaching out for a personal loan from Paddy and George from Mortgage Choice SCW, who can help get you the best rate possible to make the dream vacation for your wedding a reality. Usually, it'd sting you $129, but if you mention SC Playbook, it's completely free of charge. Fleet the boys a message on Instagram at patandgeorge_SCW, or you can give them a buzz on 9521 1611. Doesn't matter where in Australia you're based. Email more details in the team list article on our website. Give them a buzz today, guys. Worth reaching out. Spy, hot topics for the week. And before we get into the most traded in and out players, I have a subtopic. It's almost a sub-topic because it's within the hot topics topic. For those running a front row forward combination of Josh Curran, Poaso Faamasili, and Sam Hughes in the front row,
That's me.
That is me as well.
Yep.
So very topical. Essentially, what's the plan? Because we must have the exact same one. There you go. Because we've both got Terrell May. I am okay because when I realised this last week that I was going to be caught short this week, I held on to Josh Kerr, who I was going to sell. Kerr came out and scored 70 points in about 25-30 minutes. Just a beast, that man. Because he's dual position, I can switch him with Curran and have two front rowers. Now, that sounds like a masterstroke, except I was going to hold on to Jack Bostock for a week, and because I found that out, I had to sell Bostock, so ouch.
Didn't think we were going to mention him today, that's right.
Well, I know. And what makes it worse, when Taylor May got ruled out before the game, I would have played Bostock, but anyway, no one's here to listen.
One of them ones, one of those little things that don't go your way.
It happens. I made 200K off Bostock, who I think I was close to selling after it, round two anyway, so you know what.
Whatever. You know what, I think we both played him and Hammer that night. They scored about 200 together, so good vibes on Bostock still.
There are a few options here, Spy. Do you move on one of your front rows for a front row forward gun? Do you cop an auto emergency in your front row forward spot this week? Do you pay up for Adam Fanua Blake being probably the pick of the guns at the moment there? Or, I mentioned earlier, I think Supercoach has been handed a lifeline in Samuel Afonu.
Let's start with tactics from the get-go. I'm not selling Curran, no way. You could sell Sam Hughes. Maybe he's not,
ticking on the right.
Not peaked, but he scored two tries, I think, 3 weeks. So maybe he only makes you another 90K, but still decent money, isn't it? And he could make
he's
more.
He's 368K with a break-even of 13, with that 68 in his rolling average. So, look, with the form he's in and the way he's playing, he said two tries in 3 weeks.
He could just keep getting better, so I'm reluctant to sell him.
But you could. You're right, you could. Like, he could also come out and play 20 minutes after the bye and score 20. Like,
I think if I wasn't attacking a fullback in Cleary, I'd be pretty happy to ring Samuel Afonu in for Hughes.
If only we had the Bulldogs chairman on here to give us an insight into Sam Afonu.
On Afonu, he's going at over a point a minute this season.
Mm.
He looks an absolute monster.
Largely in base.
He's just earned the left edge spot on the back of a display against Penrith. He looks pretty special. Obviously, there's job security risk because that's Bateman's left edge.
Mm.
He's been named at lock. If that doesn't work out, Bateman's not going to go to the bench or anything, or you wouldn't suspect so. But
Bateman's good on the edge on the weekend too.
Yeah, so look, if Bateman does a job in the middle though and Fainu holds onto that spot, the beauty of this is, and the reason I don't have to rush it, is because Fainu played 7-8 minutes 2 weeks ago and scored 12.
Concussion.
Was it concussion? Yep. That why? Which means his break-even's like 30, which means even in a good display, he's probably only going to make 30K or something. I'm just happy to wait. Check the role. You kind of get a free look at him this week and then the side next week.
Mm.
I'm not going to use a boost to do any of that stuff. I'm happy enough to cop a 25 or 30 AE this week. Obviously, it could be less, but I'm pretty happy with my bench. So, look, if you've got a bloke on your bench who you think's going to score you three, that's when I'd look at it much harder. But, look, in theory, on a personal viewpoint, if I can jump out and get a 25 auto emergency this week, I also get a free look at vice captain and the captain, which is pretty nice, just quietly.
Especially on a week like this, there's some good options.
Yeah. So there's that added bonus, which is probably worth a few more points. So am I going to boost for a bloke who might score 40 to 70? I mean, sure, he could turn up or something, but again, that's not going to be the norm. So not for me. I'm just going to run the auto emergency. But if you had a bloke there you wanted to sell and you got a trade, 100% Fano. Definitely.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you've got someone there that you can flip out and get in final, I think he's great with that dual position. One that I'll certainly consider next week, say like a Josh Kerr down to him.
Or a Joe Chan next week to him.
If he delivers this week, go Fainu in for Kerr next week. That'd push Curran down to 2RF, where I don't really want him. But then almost the following week when Sam Hughes peaks, you go Hughes down, get Curran back up the front row and get a gun or a 2RF in.
It's all happening. Wheels turning.
Yeah. But yes, I do think for those people needing a front row this week that Samuel Fainu is a good option to plug in there. A little bit of risk, but he's playing good footy. And on the weekend against Panthers, Penrith, you mentioned that's why, 61 points in 59 minutes with 49 in base. Good going. Maxi Plath, psychopath, fourth most traded in, 382K, negative six break even. He has dual 2RF 5'8 positioning. He played 70 minutes in Darwin, 46 in base. What do you reckon? Two tries in that performance.
Yeah, and they weren't line breaks, the tries. So you take out, it's only 34 points, so he scored well regardless. It's a solid buy. Not one to get carried away with and say he's going to be incredible week in, week out, but he's got good buy coverage. Again, he's the kind of bloke, if you've got a trade there to use and you want to get rid of someone, he looks a solid option.
Yeah. I agree. He looks a solid option and I'm not...
But not a must.
I'm just not after solid options at the moment. I want... Yes, I think this is a great buy. It can really help my team. Like, is Plath going to keep playing 65, 70 minutes that'll make him relevant? Like, he scored two tries on the weekend. I just... You know, you've got Tommy Flegler to come back in there, which is going to impact the middle rotation. Lemuelu, extended bench this week, first game back from injury. Godly. What impact does he have there? So I can just see Maxi Plath going back to a 50 to 60 minute role and being like...
All right, well, he's played four games this year and played 43 and 46 in two of them. So.
And that was with games with injury impacts. And
he scored 30 and 43 in them. Yeah. So he could just be a bit underwhelming.
He really has to have earned that role and maybe he has. But they've got Ray Stone on the bench, who's a goer as well and a similar sort of body. So, yeah, look, not for me, but we could be sitting here in a month and he's averaging 70 minutes and 65 points in dual position.
Plays all the major buys. Yeah, gee, I'm glad I grabbed him.
A lot of ifs and buts.
Yeah, indeed.
We'll save Zach Lomax a little bit later because I have a good question on him. Number 9, Simi Sasagi at the Raiders. When I first saw him, he pricked my interest a bit. 219K, negative 40 break even, available at centre. He's got the 79 from last week in his rolling average. He had a try and a try assist in that. With Hosking and Whitehead hurt, he started. Look, he's potentially got an 80-minute back row spot there. He plays round 13 for the Raiders. Hosking's out for a lengthy stint. He only had 34 in base in that 80-minute game on the weekend. Initially, I was keen spy, and then I don't think Elliot Whitehead's too far away is the concern.
That is the concern.
And they got pumped by the Broncos.
So you can rock straight into that right edge. Yeah. And they need some experience around those young halves.
He'd be enormous defensively, Whitehead coming into the young halves.
That's got to be a big thing, isn't it?
Especially if they partner him with, depending how they want to, so how would it be? Strange has been playing left with Hutto Young. So, yeah, they'd probably pair him
with next to Weeks. Who played a lot of fullback. It just adds up. So, yeah, Simi looks... decent, but based on that, I probably wouldn't be jumping in.
Yeah, unless we get word that Whitehead's out longer term, which hopefully can get a word from the capital on that one, but I don't believe he's far
away. If you get
away.
2 weeks out of Sasagi, though, you probably make 100K or maybe 150.
Yeah.
Comes pretty handy, and again, if you want to do that and then decide later, I'm not against it either.
Yeah. But I think I'll be avoiding there. Number 2 most sold, Luke Brooks, 504K, 52 average, 66 break even. He does have good upcoming fixtures in the Eels, the Raiders and the Dolphins. The point I wanted to make here, Spy, as a Brooks and Galvin owner, I think Brooks has to go for this week for me to get Nathan Cleary, just due to the price difference. But I like Luke. Oh no, I think you can disagree with this. Luke Brooks has been solid, but a little bit underwhelming. I thought he's going to. He hasn't hurt me by any means holding because he never was worth that much. But he's been a bit of a letdown in terms of I thought he might have had some bigger scores in him. If I had the money to do it this week, I reckon I would have held Luke Brooks and sold Lachie Galvin and had Brooks as my backup 5'8", just in that red-hot Manly team compared to Galvin at the Tigers. But the 130-odd, 140K price difference and the 15 break-even for Galvin, that was enough. That I kind of need to go Brooks out, but yeah.
Yeah, I want to see where Galvin goes. He got 35 against Penrith, didn't have any attacking stats. He might have, but not many. Galvin's pretty special. I just want to ride him until he maxes out. But you're right. Brooksy has a good side around him. Any bloke that gets to feed Tom Trbojevic and then take on the line with attention out the back is a pretty good option.
And at 500K, he can be your backup 5'8", play him on matchup.
Yeah. So I don't mind it. As you said, though, if you've got Galvin there at much cheaper, who's going to get up to that price, if you're not paying them anyway.
Exactly. I fully understand the trade out there. Now, let's knock off 4-in-1 hits here, Spy. The Raiders boys, they're peaking in price. The third, the fourth, the eighth, and the ninth most traded out players. Ethan Strange, 528K, break even of 51. He's made us 289 grand, thank you. Note that the Raiders play round 13, the first major bye week. James Schiller, 473K, 43 break even. He's made us 234K. Very shaky job security. Note Albert Hopewadi's 18th man, or he's in the extended squad, so he could also come in. He came back from that hand injury by New South Wales Cup. Xavier Savage, 521K, 76 break-even, made 170 profit for owners. Morgan Smithies, 497K, 41 break-even, 152K profit. Of those guys, I'm a Strange, Schiller, Smithies owner. I will be selling Schiller first out of those guys. I think I'll be holding Smithies, who got a rest on the weekend due to the blowout scoreline, I think.
Surely.
I'm going to try hold Smithies through, I think the Raiders play 13 and 16 through those. And Strange is one that, with the break-even of 51, I just want to see how he goes without Fogarty, because he's going to have a bigger role in attack, so it might not be such a bad thing for him there. What are your plans? Who do you own of those guys, and what are you thinking with them? Who holds, I suppose?
I'm the same as you. Ethan Strange, definite hold this week. Let's see how things unfold. As you said, paying 13-16 is pretty handy, so maybe he's one to hold. In saying that, in things you may have missed later on, I'll be talking about who I'll be bringing in. So I think I'll be selling him next week, unless he shows something quite decent this weekend. James Schiller is going to go to N. Cleary this week.
Yeah.
I would have liked to sell Hutchison in front of Schiller.
Schiller to Cleary. Oh,
nice, isn't it? I think with Schiller, he's averaging about 75 or something, but it does appear he's hit the wall. But as we know with centres and wings, with Bostock last week, they just need one more big game before you sell them just to skyrocket through the roof again, price-wise. But again, if I've got the option of Cleary, I'm going to take it. I think you can afford to hold Schiller one more week and just see how he goes. But if you've got a pressing trade, go for gold. Morgan Smithies, 100% hold. Ideally hold him right through till after round 16, then sell on. Because as you said, we were watching on the weekend, Guru was blowing up, but it was like 30-4. I think his draft side was in crisis and he wasn't coming back on. We're like, well, you give him a rest now, don't you? Because you're going to need him next week and the week after. So hopefully that's all it was. If he has limited minutes again in the coming week, sure, we can assess. Recess. But he's just running the ball suddenly. He's gone from tip on to head down. So he could be an absolute, not elite of the back row, but he could be right up there, tier below.
And also one that if his minutes do drop off, but he plays 13 to 16, you don't have to play him every week. He's an easy sit.
Yeah, I've got no intention of selling him.
No.
Yeah.
Spy, the players you may have missed. Now, we're going to introduce this each week because we often go through the major team list changes, the hot topics, and you know the most traded in and out players. Look, there's only so much you can fit in an hour and a half. Fortunately, we've got about four or five podcasts across the SC Playbook Network. We try and get as many in as we can, but we do miss a few. Basically, explain to us what it is.
I've just made it up. So do I have any intro music, Matty, or not yet?
Not yet, mate. Sorry.
Sweet.
Don't hold your breath, Spy.
So this is on debut. My idea was basically we finished our podcast. I'm like, I hope we didn't miss some people because we often talk about team lists and ins and outs. Whereas, like, the guys in the middle often might get missed because, as you said, we don't have that much time. So I'm going to start jotting down weekly leading into the pod just some thoughts on blokes, and it's literally thoughts. They're like one-liners on different things. So far away, Dallin Watane Zalesniak. No Capewell on the right edge this week. So watching last week, I noticed that Capewell, just his style of footy, he's not a hard running back rower. I think the Warriors' right edge needs that hard running back rower for Johnson. Chan's out the back, Berry short, and Zalesniak on the end of that, all that. So I think the young Laban, or I don't actually know how to say his name, but he looks pretty special.
Laban, yeah.
And he could be really, really good for Zalesniak and Chan's and everybody, to be honest. So that's my first note.
I brought Dallin last week. Got out of jail with a late try.
Ooh, yep.
10 minutes, 15 minutes into the game, he almost scored three, and I was like, oh, we're on here. Did not pan out that way. I'm a very excited owner this week. And because there's other pressing trades, particularly at fullback, I don't know if a lot will get onto him.
Could well be a VC option there. Ruben Garrick will be about 540K next week. You can go Ethan Strange direct to him, possibly for profit, which is insane. Garrick's got a really good buy schedule in terms of he covers some of the later, trickier buys. So I just think at that price, so hard to pass up. Average 79 opening month before the HIA. Pretty quiet one on the weekend, but he's going to have the odd game of that. He's still scored 35 or something.
Last three seasons, he's averaged 71, 71, 88. And then there's also the, if he does find himself back on the wing, even better.
Wing, even better. I just think a fantastic buy next week. Asako is a similar boat, could be 620K, one to watch next week or in coming weeks. So that's just talking, I mean, no particular order tonight, guys, but that's just your fallen guns, we'll call them. You go, you can scoop these guys up, get them
Maybe
in.
Maybe that's what we can do. Why don't we do, why don't we make players you may have missed, spies, fallen guns?
Because I've got heaps of other stuff in here. You'll see, I'm still going here. Joey Manu, got no notes, don't even know what that was. That's what it was. Teddy might miss Origin. So we've always thought Manu must have for Origin, plays fullback. Let's wait and see. That may not actually happen. Tougher run coming up. So as a non-owner in the centres, you can just wait and see closer to Origin there.
Like we saw last week, him come back to centre and score 68. Scored that try. Dragons, Broncos, Warriors, Sharks. I've got him penciled in for round 12 against the Raiders, and then they play round 13 against the Cowboys. Teddy or not, I still think it'd be a great buy at that point. But at centre, I'm happy to wait a month. Yeah,
and you can wait till round 13 once you know if Teddy's in or out, if you want.
Yeah.
This is why I don't want just fallen guns. This one's now, whilst it is slightly fallen, it's just a note on David Fifita. He's got a very, very poor run through Origin with his Origin appearances and then the Titans buys. He's coming off the bench, so just my thought on Fifita is I really, really wanted to beat the crowd to him. Now I'm not so keen. Potentially coming off the bench. We know how good he is. He's going to score regardless, but at that price, money probably spent better elsewhere.
I did the exact same today, spy for feed. I was like, oh, can I go early on him? Misses 13, 16, 17 and 19, plus any potential to play fewer minutes after Origin.
So an avoid for me, which actually helped because I was trying to figure out how the hell I was going to afford him.
Yeah, we do have an article written and ready to rock. I'm going to release it next Tuesday from Jay Schubert from Twitter, SC Playbook contributor. Origin by planning preparation, the draw, best and worst draws. So that'll be dropping next Tuesday.
Very, very good. And just on blokes like Manu and Valentine Holmes, do we need a couple of 50s? Because they just keep doing the job, don't they? But as long as like we can get a couple of 50s out of them, not tons, their price will plummet. So that is very
I'm a Val
handy.
Owner, mate, so I'm good.
I know you got Val, hey?
Yeah.
Scored again last weekend. Unbelievable.
Always
getting
does.
Pumped and then bang.
Always does.
He's good. Terrell May, just a note on his minutes. Obviously been down a little bit of recent times. Last weekend, didn't play many. Hard to tell. It's probably just a case of Trent Robinson going, mate, you're a young front row. I'm not going to punch you out 55, 60, 50
case of
every
Trent
week.
Robbo off his rocker.
But, I mean, you've also got to look after young blokes to a degree.
Mm.
However, 2 weeks ago was the interesting one because he only played limited minutes again. It was the night they had a send-off, Teddy HIA, and it threw their rotations into disarray and a lot of their middles didn't play minutes. So my point around Terrell May is I'd scrap that game from your memory and concentrate on last weekend as his first limited minutes. Let's see if it becomes the norm, but just ignore that first one. So, but it's going to be very interesting on him how many minutes he plays on Anzac Day. Surely he's got to play.
Surely.
But we'll see. If not, he becomes right in the sell basket there.
Yeah, I actually had him on the list and I was like, oh, we're running out of time for him. But I'm I'm certainly holding and reassessing, but oh, it's a bit of a concern.
I'll fire through the rest of it, but Eli Katoa, I think, is just an utter gun, elite of elite. So if you want a good backer, I'll get him in, join the party. Dylan Brown really struggled on the right edge on the weekend. Mm. He steps off his other foot on the left. He's got a combination. His right to left pass is all on the left-hand side of the field. That's where he plays. And they've given him the 7 jersey, asked him to run the side and stuck him on the right. I'm like, what are you doing? Thankfully, he swept to the left late.
Yeah.
Scored, but I'm really hoping to see him back on the left edge this week.
I wonder with Sanders in there, I wonder if that's a part of that play. Because, look, I'm a big down Arcee fan. And he had the head knock and missed the last 20 minutes of last week's game. So I thought he dropped out because of that. But he's on the extended bench, so perhaps he's been dropped. I know, I find that so harsh.
Interesting.
But maybe Sanders, if he's right side dominant, hopefully Brown's back to the left.
Oh, I hope so. Otherwise, he becomes interesting. But if he's on the left, Dylan Brown, hold for days. Just on Reece Robson, could cash him in at 700K now. I've got him.
Mm.
He's not going to hold that value, you wouldn't think. But great run coming up. But you could cash in for anyone and make a buttload of coin.
Yeah.
Just worth a note. And just on Chevy Stewart and James Schiller and Ethan Strain, so he's got sorts of blokes, but Chevy and Schiller in particular, if you've got one of those guys as your reserve heading into the last game, just be aware they one of them may not play with Albert Hobowati on the extended bench there. So just have a look.
Why would Chevy not play?
Well, Albert could play fullback.
He played fullback in a trial or something.
He's done it a few times. But I sense one of them goes out if Hobowati plays. So if you're banking on one of those guys as the last reserve, flip someone else if you can. That'd be my thoughts.
Especially if you're running the AE at front row.
Exactly. And that Spy's things you may have missed.
Not bad, Spy.
Yeah.
That's good. Might roll some of that into beers and break even.
It's kind of like how I write my articles. I'm kind of like, there's so many different points in rugby league. I'm trying to put them together.
No, it's good stuff, Spy. I like it, mate. All right, let's get stuck into our trades and skippers for the week, mate. What are you looking at?
Pretty simple one. We've got to decide on my fullback, unless I somehow decide to hold fire there and reassess, give him a good old possible versus probable shootout on the weekend. But Cleary's coming in for Schiller, and at this stage it will be Ponga to Pappy. But I'm telling you what, Walsh is right on his heels now, and it's going to be a good battle between the two of them. I'm genuinely torn, and probably the only thing I don't like about fantasy sports is when I'm dead stuck in the middle and I can't decide. So if someone can come up with a criteria for me to tie break how to do this, it would assist my mental health.
I know, put it this way, Guru sometimes listens to this podcast on Tuesday night. It's a pretty small window between when it gets released. We record Beers and Breakheads first thing of a Wednesday morning. But if he doesn't get to listen to it, for all the listeners out there, speaking to him yesterday after the Bloke in a Bar podcast, he was adamant that he was going to hold fire and wait till Scott Drinkwater next week.
Yep.
But what tends to happen with Guru and I is we sit there on the podcast, then I'll convince him of something, and then he'll backflip. He's one of the greatest backflippers in the history of Supercoach. So if he hasn't listened to this and he hasn't listened to my logic around Walsh, which I'll repeat to him tomorrow, he will backflip, but just know that he's a coward and he's not going to back himself with Scott Drinkwater. So hopefully he hasn't listened to the podcast by this time tomorrow.
Yeah, if anyone can come up with a tiebreaker for me just to split those dead heat decisions, that would make my life far easier. So please and thank you.
Reece Walsh. Option one, I have two options. And option one that I thought I was going to go with, Ponga to Walsh, I'm going to lock that in. And then option two, I can go straight from Danny Levi to Harry Grant. He cannot get an attacking stat to save himself this season. He's got a break even onwards of 100. So I just think at around that 650K mark, he's so cheap and you lock in a gun. Danny Levi's about to start dropping a lot of cash.
Great purchase.
And I have no confidence in playing Levi if I want to, but you like this Spy. Here's what I'm leaning towards. Option two, boost. Ponga to Walsh, done. Luke Brooks to Nathan Cleary,
yep,
done. Danny Levi to Jaden Brayley.
Yep.
Brayley back to 80 minutes, or at least he was last weekend. 337K. He's had no attack yet. He had 48 base on the weekend. He plays 13. I think he's a really reliable like backup number nine if your starting hooker goes down, Reece Robson in our case.
Yep.
So I can't quite do the first two trades without the boost. I need to make a little bit of cash on Levi to Brayley. I'm going to run through a lot of numbers on Brayley with and without Ponga and a few other things on Beers and Breakhevens tomorrow.
I'd love to know his average playing like 70-plus minutes because that's what he appears to be back at.
Yeah. Like he averaged, I think, 22, 21, 22, 59, 60 per game. So, look, I'm keen on that. I feel safe with him. As he plays 13.
He'll do more without KP. I'm almost sure of it.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly my thinking.
I like that boost. I like that option.
Option two. Matty, trade plans for this week.
Pretty easy one. Pretty much had it locked and loaded as soon as the round ended. Cleary in, Brooks out, Ponga out, Reece Walsh in.
Yeah, it's nice. Feels good.
It's pretty. It's a pretty simple one. Yeah.
VC and C for me. VC will either.
Captain Turbo.
Turbo.
Yep. Turbo at Brookie.
Yep.
Very good. Who's he got? Para. Ooh, another scary one. VC will be Pappy or Walsh, but I could throw it on Zalesniak on Thursday. But I do think Papenhuyzen or Walsh is the answer there.
I like Pappy or Walsh better.
I get a free crack at them into. I'll go Nico Hines this week. I'm tempted on Cleary, but that is that first game back factor that Nico's obviously firing. Got another Sunday Arvo game, so he'll be likely my captain.
You brave Skipper and Cleary. I just think with the hammy, if that tweaks ever, especially you, mate, you just got burnt by Ponga.
Jeez, I've got some resilience this year, don't I?
Sure. for me, VC, Dallin Watene, Zalesniak against the Titans. C... I thought I'm going to go Tommy Turbo as well. Stick strong. Look, he hasn't gone bonkers, but he certainly hasn't really let me down this year. I think his worst when I skipped him was about a 55 out against the Drags. And Reece Walsh is very tempting. He really, really is. So I'm still eyeing that. But I think in Tommy Turbo, a few questions before we wrap it up. Well, first one from Jack Gaddy. I was going to stick with Johnson until after Origin, but if he's injured, that may have to bring Cleary back if he's available. I think just the one on this spy I was going to say was that Sean Johnson up against the Titans, clearly coming back from injury, I would 100% be holding Johnson one more week for that matchup.
Oh, easiest decision ever. Roll SJ this week. I think there's talk, if you don't know, it's talk around he's carrying a really sore Achilles and struggling on it. So it's not necessarily something where he's torn something, he's out for a month, but he's really sore. They basically implied that he needs a rest at some stage.
He'll get one at some point.
Yeah. So whether that's an early shower this week, if you're thinking of captaining him, potentially, but I can't see how he wouldn't play Anzac Day when the Warriors absolutely need a win. They just need a win.
He'll play this week.
Simple as that. So he's in, but coming weeks, just be aware he could be out. But next week, Cleary to Johnson is just perfect. Other way around, but yeah.
A couple of questions here which tie into each other. One from Kevin Nimmett. Happy Coruscant to Brayley to get a big war chest to bring a couple of gun second rowers in next week. Goes into a question from Donnie Saunders. Running Robson and Appy, worth downgrading Robson to Brayley or stick with Robson? Now, you just alluded to this before in the players you may have missed, but Robson, a few quiet a couple of weeks, and Appy into the Panthers. And Appy's really gone downhill the last 2 to 3 weeks. Not running very often, Appy, the last few years. Got some stats on that for tomorrow as well. But I suppose just the question there is, you know, you mentioned Brayley, but are you happy enough to hold Robson through till Origin if he gets named? You know, if he doesn't get named in Origin, I think he probably will, but he pays around 13. And then Appy Coruscant, I know you're not an owner, nor am I, but for a bit there, you're sort of thinking maybe he could be a keeper. Obviously, Origin was going to be the issue, but a goal-kicking 80-minute number 9, not quite looking that way.
I actually think he's definitely a keeper, to be honest. I'd like to buy him soon. Origin looming might hold me off. But again, take out the Penrith match. No one cares. He got 36. Everyone gets 36 against him. 63, 60, 45, 105, 82. Like, I really like him. He's just a little fella playing in the middle, doing a lot of work. That's probably my only concern. But if I've got anyone, I'm selling Robson first for a massive profit. Although Robson's very durable. Pays 80 every week, so he's very reliable.
And how's the soft run coming up?
And I think in the case of Robson, he might lose 100K, but I've got to get in my own mind. It's like, you know what, he might lose 100K, but that's okay. It's a long season. 100K is not that much in the long run for a bloke that's really reliable. But if it wasn't for Origin, I'd actually like to go Robson to Appy, to be honest with you. But I don't want to necessarily just do that trade ahead of, it does a little bit. That's a bit of a luxury, but...
Yeah, I don't like that.
I like them both, to be honest.
Well, I think they're both holds.
And I think Appy's 100% hold.
Yeah. I think they're both holds. Like, Brayley's appealing, but he's appealing because you can get rid of Levi. Or like, I think Lussie to Brayley's a good move, but...
I just forgot he had Robson and Appy. I'd sell Robson to Brayley and open up the war chest, sorry. That's what I would do, yeah. Hmm.
Spy, question from James. He Is Matty Burton the premium 5'8 option this year? Never really been relevant, but keeps putting up scores. Might just be Dogs are competitive enough now that he'll get the attacking stats consistently. He's averaging 68 for the season. He has a three-round average of 102, five-round average of 82. So you take out his first 3 weeks where he went 15, 50, 35. He's in form. The draw comes good. He has obviously the bye this week into the Tigers. Panthers very tough, but Raiders, Dragons, Knights in round 13. Hard to knock what he's doing.
He's killing it. Just playing with confidence finally.
In a shit 5'8 position.
Yeah, I like him. Very expensive, but yeah, I like him.
I don't want him just because he's just so stationed down that left side and just doesn't roam enough or get involved in attack for my liking. That might sound dumb. I'm a bit not confused.
Conflicted
because, thanks, Spy. Because the Doggies' left edge is so elite. They're playing such good footy.
To me, he might as well be running because it's going so hard to the left so often. Yeah. He just gets so much footy.
Yeah.
He's running well, confidence up. I really like it, to be honest.
I wouldn't pay $770 for him.
The only concern.
Yeah.
You need to be able to afford him and know that you might be missing out on others. But just on face value, he's a buy, but $770 is a question.
I do think there's going to be games where the Dogs do get dusted or like have low scoring games if their defence holds up, and I can see him going low one. So I just don't want to pay that much for him.
Fair.
One from the Supercoach Battler. Brought in Marju last week as part of a boost once Fifita got moved to the bench. Would you trade Marju for another CT dub or Cleary this week now Ponga is out long term? I'll hold on to him for the good draw and bike average. I feel sorry for Marju owners because he moved to the left wing as we wanted last week, but then Ponga was playing injured and then got injured, and there's so much appeal out of Marju now with Ponga out because their attack's just going to be so thwarted. Gagai's back, so Tuala comes back. Whether or not Marju goes back to the right wing now as per the week prior, I don't know. But what it does mean is we're going to get him damn cheap at some point. Yeah. But it's Ponga out's a lot of appeal out of Marju.
I'm very glad I didn't buy him because I'd be in a serious rock and a hard place. What I'd actually have to do is probably go and watch some Reggie's matches to see if the fullback can pass or not.
Yeah.
When Ponga didn't play last year, Marju still went really well, multiple tons with the young Miller at fullback. Their shape is still set up to get him ball. Yeah. So as long as the fullback can pass, the risk is being if you're playing for a couple of weeks and he's not getting any footy, he's down to 500K or something. So it's one of them things you've got to either pull the trigger now or hold long term. With his work rate, he probably gets you out of trouble to do some sort of job with bike coverage.
I'd hold. So,
yeah. But I can understand if you want to just cut the tires right now and do it, you have to do it now or never. Tricky. Yeah.
621K, break even 122. Spy, I'm eyeing about 15 different fallen guns at CT Dub for round 13, but they have the buy in round 12. Reassess from there, but round 13, Doggies, first major buy week, potentially there. Even then, it goes into Melbourne Panthers and then a round 16 buy, so just a wait and watch, I think. Spy, last one. Zach McDougall. Zach Lomax or Val Holmes?
Val.
I agree.
Nothing in it, but
yeah.
Val's Val.
This week,
we're talking about pedigree and stuff, and he's playing as good as we've ever seen, but pretty happy to own either, just quietly.
Happy to own either, but Val goal kicking with their run to come. This week, Lomax have a chance to outscore him, but Val for that the run to come afterwards. Also, Lomax in the origin frame now takes a bit of appeal away from him if he lands.
Val next week is a huge play.
Yeah, I think Val. Righto, mate, we'll wrap. Funny how long you can go with two and a half people here, mate, but bloody hell. Sorry, boys. Getting in prep for Anzac Day. Spite, you've been big. Thank you, mate.
All good, boys. Cheers.
Matty, cheers.
Thank you.
All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. Have an awesome Anzac Day. Good luck to your Supercoach side this weekend.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.